So would you all, turn on my mic. There we go. Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this morning I have a message for you about questioning. And it's not questioning why one of the fingers was tied off on the...
Two legs and two arms
on the balloons. Now I get it. I'm like, I don't understand. Why is one of the udders tied off? So I have a message for you about questioning. So as I said at the beginning of worship, Easter is not a day. It is a way of life. And this way of life takes practice. Now we heard on Easter last week that the two Marys were the first to witness Jesus's resurrection. Now they've shared the good news with Peter. And if you remember scripture, Peter didn't believe them when they encountered each other. And Peter ran back to the tomb to see for himself. And so now in our scripture today, it's the evening of that first day. And the 10 of the 12 disciples are gathered. I wonder, where is Thomas? The other 10 are there, and of course, Judas is gone. He's out of the picture, the betrayer. So you've got the 10, and Thomas is missing. I mean, all these other 10 were gathered together because they were full of fear about what was to come next. Was Thomas not afraid? Did he have faith that Jesus would rise like Jesus had told him he would? But nothing, you know, has gone as the disciples planned. They were wondering if the authorities are going to come after them next, since they went after Jesus, after all. So even though these disciples have now heard from Mary that Jesus has been resurrecting, fear still lingers with them as they gather. Jesus appears, as we heard, and offers the disciples peace. And when the disciples saw the Lord, and I quote, they were filled with joy. Imagine it, the relief that these 10 felt. They were in this room terrified to death about what was going to happen. The door was locked. And then Jesus appears, and their anxiety, which was running through their bodies, maybe like a cyclone, Jesus appears and breathes on them, offering them peace, offering them calm like a smooth sea. But Thomas wasn't there. I wonder if he wasn't full of fear, like I mentioned, and if he held on to his faith for those 3 days. But then we hear, when Thomas does encounter the disciples, who are full of excitement and want to share what just happened about Jesus, Thomas does not believe them. Did Thomas go from a believing, faithful disciple to falling into our human trap of wanting to see it to believe it himself? So Thomas then has to wait 8 days. While his other disciple friends got the revelation from Jesus, Thomas now has to wait another week. He sat in the uncertainty, the waiting, the wondering, the hope that maybe he too would see Jesus. And I wonder if Thomas's faith was like a roller coaster, believing and then questioning, leading to doubt, wondering for a whole week what would happen. Have you ever wondered if Jesus really rose from the dead? Or have you ever wondered if God is real? Now, Thomas is sometimes poo-pooed because of his, quote, lack of faith. Yet, he's like us. I know he is. More faith-filled at times, and yet other times questioning what is going on. Thomas is a reflection of our own faith journey. We need Thomas because we too have our doubts. We too question others when we hear about their spiritual experiences. Have you had that before? Someone tells you how, I witnessed these angels. Or I just knew God or the Spirit was with me when da-da-da-da-da happened. And maybe you're like, yeah, okay, sure. Sure that happened. We need Thomas because it is in the questioning that we can actually go deeper spiritually. And let us remember, Thomas wasn't the only one who questioned the resurrection. Peter did. Peter ran right by the women and he was like, I don't believe you. I gotta go see for myself. He questioned it. And if he believed the women when they had told him Christ was risen, he would have followed with them and gone and told the other disciples. But he didn't. And I know many people who have said or thought, did Jesus physically resurrect? Like physically, like you and I are sitting here today, that physical resurrection, did that really happen? Or do I really have to believe in the physical resurrection? And that's a great question. Do you have doubts? If so, you're in good company. You're in the company of the first disciples and of Christians ever since. I will admit, I have my doubts. Okay, good. The building didn't collapse. I don't know if Jesus physically resurrected like you and I who are standing here. We've talked about this in Bible study and in our devotional groups. We've talked about praying with our brother Jesus and envisioning Jesus being in relationship with us and what Jesus might look like. So this past week, I played with the idea of Jesus being right there with me. As I meditated one day, I sat on the green grass and it was just a beautiful day. The sun was shining down and I imagined Jesus sitting there right there with me. I wondered as I meditated, well, what would he look like? And of course, the first image that came to mind is that church image that's been propagated with Jesus with the long hair. For my imagination, it was brown and in that white robe tunic thing. And I was like, no, that's not gonna work for me. So then came to mind the historic picture of Jesus in which he's got short brown hair and a really stern face and darker skin. And I'm like, whoa, this image is a little scary. Nope, don't want that Jesus either. Okay, imagine Jesus, Tina, imagine Jesus. And then came to mind a modern person. I couldn't see the face, but I could feel the warmth of that person sitting next to me. And it felt so real. I could literally feel this figure sitting next to me as I sat on the grass on that sunny day. And I wondered if this is what happened with the disciples. If they were all in fear, gathered together in that room, praying with tenacity, meditating, wondering, and then Jesus appeared to them. Thank you, Mackenzie, for that exclamation. Yeah, what if that's what happened and Jesus appeared to them as they were praying? Maybe that's the case, I don't know. But for you who do believe in that physical resurrection, well, you're in good company also. And there's room for continued questioning as well, for pondering and going deeper. You see, the amazing thing about miracle stories, which Swiss theologian Karl Barth points out, is that miracle stories, and resurrection stories most of all, are designed to astonish. And astonishment, after all, is a blend of both belief and disbelief. So, Christians should neither merely just believe miracle stories, because that would mean we truly aren't astonished by them, nor should we disbelieve them, because that too would mean we're not astonished. So rather, these stories are continuing leaving us in wonder and curiosity, even taken aback, helping us to call into question our own assumptions about what may or may not be possible or impossible. These stories, these amazing miracles and resurrection stories, invite us to be curious, to have an open mind and open hearts, especially about Easter. But in order to be curious and to have that open mind and that open heart, we have to put our egos aside. Now, the ego gets in the way of a lot of things, because it's a framework that we present that's all about us. For example, let's say you hear a dog barking outside, and you immediately think, I hear a dog barking. I hear the dog barking. That dog is disturbing me. Me. Or maybe you're like Tracy and you say, oh, I want to go pet that dog that's barking. It's about me. Whereas in reality, the dog is just barking and it's not about you at all. Our ego labels things, experiences, and puts them into a relationship with ourselves. Now, to be open to God and open to Christ's miracles, we have to let go of our egos, our perceived notions, our assumptions, so that we can just experience God. Experience God in these miraculous events like Easter and the resurrection. And what Buddhists, they refer to this openness as a beginner's mind. To know what we don't know. To be open, to be curious. A beginner's mind is a stance of humility that opens the door to learning and to revelation. A beginner's mind is observing and being curious about what's going on. It's about being open to the wonders and the awes of miracles. It's going spiritually to a deeper level. When we step aside and we put beside us our preset beliefs and notions, then we can play with and be curious, and we can step outside of our ego. And then we are able to experience miracles in a new way. We are then able to be open to the divine. We can let go of that human need to see, to witness, to feel things for ourselves. The Apostle Thomas, he does us a favor. Because it's in Thomas that we can also see ourselves. His ego got in the way for him. He wanted to experience Christ's resurrection for himself, for his own spiritual journey. Thomas couldn't step outside himself and take in the wonder and the awe that was all around him that his friends had experienced. The early Christians wrestled with their faith just like Thomas. After all, Paul wrote to the Hebrews, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Signs and wonders, they have their place, but even Jesus led his followers into a faith that can flourish when things can't be seen. Jesus' response to Thomas as he sat there with him was, do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe. So, should it be Doubting Thomas? Should that be his nickname? Or should it be more like Seeing is Believing Thomas? Jesus calls him, calls all the disciples, and calls us to step beyond our faith that depends so much on these signs and wonders, and instead to grow and go deeper beyond that seeing is believing. Faith moves beyond the visible, beyond the surface of things, and after all, faith is the opposite of certainty. If we had certainty, then we wouldn't need faith. Faith is the opposite of certainty. We're no different than those first disciples, than those first century Christians, and all the people in the 2,000 years since. We have curiosities, we have doubts, we have questions, and that is a good, good thing. It's a healthy thing for your faith. So if you believe that Jesus physically was resurrected in the form like you and I are now, well, good. And if you believe that Jesus was resurrected in a spiritual form, in a different form than our bodily form, well, good. And if you are still unsure and questioning and wondering and going deeper, well, great. After all, Easter is not about the details. It's about hope and a love which cannot be defeated. Easter is not a day. It's a way of life. It's a hope-filled way of life which leaves us astonished, open, questioning, curious, and leading to the possibility of going deeper in our faith and drawing closer to God. So, friends, on this second Sunday of Easter, may you play with and sit in the mystery, and may you experience the resurrection that will take you deeper in faith and in oneness with our God. Amen. Let us rise in spirit and body and sing He Lives, number 266 in the blue hymnal and on our screen.